So along similar lines, there's a very beautiful concept brought in the name of the Rabbinim of Pshischa. It says like this, that the Gemara in Bracha says, on the Pasuk, Rigzu v'yatachto, imro v'vavchem, amushkavchem, v'doim v'sela, say Chazal like this, a person should always incite their good inclination against their evil inclination. Notzchai, if you're able to win, mutav, good. Imlav, if you can't win, yasek b'Torah, study Torah. Notzchai mutav, if that works, that's great. If not, read the Shema. If you win, that's great. If not, yaskele yamamisa. A person should ponder death itself. A person ponders death, then it helps them overcome their desires. So all the commentaries say, what are we playing around with the first two solutions for if they work only sometimes? And yaskele yamamisa, remembering death works all the time. So what are we playing games for with the first two solutions? Go straight. Go, you take the elephant pill right away. What are you playing games for? So all of the Chassidish Sfarim right, because a person cannot live with the image of death before their eyes at all times, because it leads to depression. You can't live that way. Whereas the other two options of studying Torah and reading the Shema have joyous sentiments connected to them. Yaskeli Yamamisa is depressing, and you can't serve Hashem being depressed. That's the classic answer that's given. Rabbinim, I think it's a Rabbinim, Yismach Yisrael brings this. Maybe to maybe Rabbitical Vurka says not that's not the that's not totally true. Says Hashem says, Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Torah Tavlin. I created an evil inclination, and I created Torah as the solution for it. What Chazal are telling us is that there is only one solution against the Yetzahara, and that is the study of Torah. Every person, wherever they're at, that's the solution. That's how you battle the Yetzer. The problem is that a person can become so desensitized that the studying of Torah won't do it for them. So what do you got to do then? So then you need to read the Shema. What the reading of the Shema will do is it'll have the power to jar the person to the point where the study of Torah will be able to be effective. But there's a person who is so desensitized that the Shema doesn't work. So what that person needs to do is ponder the day of death so that he can think of the Shema, so that the Shema can jar him to the point where the Torah will be able to battle his Yetzahara. But the only thing that'll work is going to be Torah knowledge. Wait, hold on, let me just finish the thought. Now, when we're talking about the ramification, the downside of Yaskele Yamamisa, of pondering death, the truth is that he answers the question simultaneously. Because, for instance, you see on Tisha B'Av that the study of Torah is forbidden, because the study of Torah leads to joy. Now, if joy is the only tool, if the study of Torah is the only antidote to the Yetzirah, even if a person temporarily is going to use the method of Yaskele Yamamisa to jar him to the point where the Torah will be effective, the Torah will take over, and the person will no longer be depressed, because the concept of death is not going to work on its own anyway. And the truth is that the way the Sfarim HaKadoshim explain it, the reason it won't work is because depression is the weakest tool. Depression is, that they say in the name of Rav Nachman of Breslov, that joy is not a mitzvah. But the kinds of things that joy can lead a person to is greater than any mitzvah can do. And depression is not an avera, but the kind of sins that depression can lead a person to are greater than anything that any sin can lead a person to. As a result, Yazkili Emamisa is not the first solution because it's totally ineffective. Quite the contrary, it's going to lead a person to further and further distance themselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only thing it's good for is to get a person's mind into a place where the study of Torah can be effective against the Yetzer Hara. They say that the one of the Rothschilds, it was one of the Rishonakinda, traveled to Vienna to where Baron Rothschild lived. And Baron Rothschild was very excited about his guest and took him around in his estate. He had a huge estate from building to building, showing him what each of these, the function of each of these buildings. This was his international building. This was his bank building. I mean, he went from building to building, and he took him from, and he was very, very impressed with everything. Then, as they passed by one of the buildings there, he didn't tell him what it was. So he was very curious and said to him, "Well, what's that building over there?" And he said, "I'd rather not tell you." And now he desperately had to know. So he pushed him and pushed him. He said, "Fine, I'll take you." Walks into this building. It's a dark room. And in the middle of the floor, there's a casket with the book, the Mavri Yabik, which is a book about all the spooky things that happen to people after death. And he says, every morning after breakfast, he goes into this room. He puts on his tachrichim, he puts on his shrouds, gets into the casket, and reads a chapter of this book. And he said it keeps him sober, because like this, it is so all the wealth is so dazzling that he could easily become full of himself. So every morning his exercise is that after breakfast he goes in, goes through this, he says it keeps him sober for the rest of the day. Not something anybody should try at home. The point is, that's right, we'll worry about it when we have Rothschild's wealth. The point that the Reb Itzchok Vork is making is that Yaskeli Yamamisa is not a tool that can work on its own. It has to be in conjunction with the study of Torah. If it's not in the conjunction with the study of Torah, it won't work. Now, there's a beautiful medrash a little later on in the parsha where the pasuk says, "Va'ati Yisrael ma Hashem alikecha shoyel mi'imach." It's on page 990, pasuk 12. And now Hashem, and now Yisrael, what is Hashem your God asking of you? Kim the yira. All I'm asking is that you fear me. And then the pasuk adds, "Lelechus b'chol derachav, to walk in all of his ways, Allah havois, and to love him, v'lavad this Hashem alikach, and to serve Hashem your God b'chol avavcha v'chol nafshach." Sigazin. There's a medrash on the pasuk. We're going to begin saying in Elul, "Achas sha'alti me'es Hashem, o'es avakish." I ask one thing of Hashem. "Shivti b'veis Hashem kol yimechaya." I should dwell in the house of Hashem all the days of my life. That's the one thing. And then David the Melech continues, "Lach says b'nei Hashem, to see the beauty of Hashem, or the vaka be'chol, to visit his heichel, kitz b'nei nebesuke." He goes on with a bunch of requests. So the Medrash says that Hashem says to David, "You said achas sho'alti, you, I want to ask one thing." And then he gave me a whole list. So David the Melech says, "I had a very good teacher." He quotes for him this pasuk. Hashem says, "Ma Hashem alikach hashoyim imach." What am I asking of you already? "Liyah havas Hashem alikach, to love Hashem your God." And then you continue with the whole list, "to love me and to walk in all my ways." So David HaMelech says to Hashem, "I have a very good teacher. I don't, you taught, you ask for one thing, and then you add a whole bunch of things to the list." How do you understand the Medrash? So the explanation, again, my great uncle offered in Kerem Shalem, he said as follows, that there are certain things that are trigger points that lead to other things. What Hashem is saying to Klal Yisrael is, I want you to understand that Yiras Hashem, Reishis Chochma, Yiras Hashem, the beginning of wisdom is Yiras Hashem, because it's going to lead to all these other things. Ma Hashem alikach Hashayim mimach. What am I asking of you? Kim liyira. I'm asking you to fear. You should understand the slippery slope. That what's going to happen is the moment you have fear of Hashem, then there's going to be, you're going to walk in all my ways, and you're going to love me, and you're going to keep all my mitzvahs. Begin with Yiras Hashem. Begin with awe of HaKadosh Baruch. David HaMelech says the same thing to Hashem. Ach HaShalti Meis Hashem. He says, I'm asking you for one thing. What is it? Shivti B'Veis Hashem Kol Yimei Chaya. Allow me to dwell in the house of Hashem. Immediately I understand that the result of that is going to be all the other things that David HaMelech requests. So he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I learned from you. You use the same methodology. You gave me the key. I'm telling you what my request is, because that's going to lead to all the other things. And that key is this concept of battling the Yetzer Hara using the study of Torah, the Rosh Chodesh B'Smedrash, the Chazal tell us, in Pogabach Menuvel Zeh, if this lowlife attacks you, Mashcheil B'Smedrash, drag him into the B'Smedrash. Im Evin Hinemuach, if he's a stone, he'll melt. The mashal given for that, the famous story of Moshe in Cheder, where the Rebbe says to Moshe, he's trying to teach him Aleph Beis. So the Rebbe says, Moshe, let's say Aleph. And he refuses to say Aleph. The Rebbe says, Moshe, you better say Aleph. And he picks up his stick, and Moshe refuses. Finally, he says to him, why won't you say Aleph? He says, you think I don't know what's going to happen? I'm going to say Aleph, and then you're going to tell me to say Beis. I'm going to say Beis, you're going to tell me to say Gilma. He says, it's all history. If I don't say the Aleph, at least I know that I'm not going to, the rest isn't going to come along. I believe that this is alluded to in these very first words. There's a contradiction here. Here you're telling us that Avodas Hashem has to take place b'simcha. Vahaya, our sages tell us that every time the text uses the word vahaya, it refers to joy. Gemara Megillah has tremendous length of every instance that it says the word vahaya. Vahaya means it was a joyous time. On the other hand, you got Ekev. You're supposed to think about the day of death. Ekev is the end. So this is a contradiction. Vahaya and Ekev, how's it going to work? You can't have, how do you have both of these things that you have at the same time joy, and on the other hand you have thinking about the day of death? The truth of the matter is that with the correct perspective of death, it's really not such a bad deal. I've shared with you one of my favorite comments of the Sfas Emes. Says on Bonim Atem Lashem Lekechem, the Pasuk says about the prohibition of a person ripping their skin. They used to do that as a form of mourning. People used to tear their skin. So the Pasuk says, Bonim Atam Lashem Alekechem, you're children of Hashem, your God, you're not allowed to tear your skin. So the Sfas Emes says, what's the connection between these two things? So he says, if a person believes that the neshama of a Jew is a chelik elikai, and it's here temporarily in this distant place, but where a neshama really belongs is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it really limits the amount of mourning a person would do for a dead person, for a Jew. Because the deep sense of mourning that would cause a person to tear at their flesh is only due to a lack of perspective of where the neshama really belongs. If a Jew believed Banim Atam Lashem Alekechem, the result would be Leisikir Chukach. Then that automatically the person would not overdo their mourning. But based on what Rabitzik of Worka said, I believe the Pasuk answers it right here. Vahaya is Simcha. Ekev is the Yaskili Amamisa. That's remembering the day of death. Says the Pasuk, it's not a contradiction at all. Because Tishmun is HaMishpat HaMe'ela, the only method that really works against the Yetzer Hara is going to be the study of Torah. It's going to be a person throwing themselves into Torah and mitzvahs. As a result, the result of which will be, automatically, a person will be joyous when they're involved in mitzvahs. I shared with you last week this perspective, which for me was tremendously helpful. I think it's a very good tool to use. I was talking to somebody last week who lost over $1 million in a scam. So I said to them, tell me, if someone were to come over to you and say to you, I give you $1 million, don't put on tefillin today. Right? $1 million, don't put on tefillin. Would you consider it? This person said, no, of course not. Not even for a second, right? Now, what does that mean? What that means is that in truth, what the statement we're making is putting on tefillin is worth more than $1 million. Right? Otherwise, you're a very stupid businessman, right? And take any mitzvah. So when I was putting on tefillin, after thinking about that, the thought that came to me is, does my putting on tefillin reflect $1 million tefillin leg? Right? Was I saying the bracha as if it, as if this was worth $1 million? Is this what I would, is this how I would act if I made $1 million? And obviously the same answer would be if it was $2 million or $3 million, right? Now, we should be thinking about the same thing in any mitzvah that we're doing, is if we wouldn't give it up for $1 million, then the mitzvah itself should reflect the perspective of being worth that much. And if it's not, we're cheating ourselves out of each day millions and millions of dollars, or the equivalent of opportunity. I mean, it is such a ripoff. The only problem is we're the ones ripping ourselves off. Because if we wouldn't give it up for that, I don't know how to say a bracha. Okay, do me a favor. You got to drink the coffee. Just drink it this time without the bracha. $1 million. Wouldn't occur to us. And yet, how do we say the bracha? Totally mindlessly. I mean, you know, you would look at something like that and say, you're out of your mind. If that was worth $1 million to you, so say it like it's worth $1 million to you. I think it's a tremendously useful imagery. I remember hearing from or maybe I saw it in the Sefer, that if, put this in perspective for a moment, that a single mitzvah, if a Jew came down to this world and suffered through all the anguish of life to perform a single mitzvah, it would be worth it. Not only that person's life, but for a Jew to come down to the world and all of history, to go through all the suffering of all of history, is worth it for the performance of a single mitzvah. Okay? Now take all of history, and it's all worth it for the performance of a single mitzvah. Again, do we perform a mitzvah in the way that would reflect all of the history and all the destiny of the world was created for this moment, for the moment that I'm going now to connect with my Creator in the performance of this mitzvah? And sometimes in this ikvus de mashicha, we need to use some imagery to bring about the correct attitude to what we're doing. And perhaps some of these things that happened are designed to get our attention, to help us focus on where it's really at.